David mentioned that the enemy flees when we resist him. As I looked out, took a peek as we were reading those scriptures, what a formidable army you are. When we stand together in worship, when we stand together in prayer for the saints, and when we stand together to receive his word, it is that which brings us to be those who are powerful by the name of Jesus, standing in the word and is a lamp unto our feet, and then our souls. The very part of us that sometimes can get weakest gets strongest by the flow of what Jesus is saying. So we're going to get to open up these scriptures this morning. And as Gav said, we started last week talking about what it was that God wanted to do in the church. And we were talking actually broader. But we were saying as Coastlines, actually, we want to submit to this. We are aspirational. We are wanting to be inspired by God. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what it means to be inspired by God, because it's a, you know, we've got to redeem words. We don't have many in the English language. We've got to redeem them. We've got to bring them back to their root and their understanding so that we know what we are meaning when we pray, when we talk. But, you know, Hebrews is such an interesting book. The writer's not necessarily known, but the intensity is towards the church of the day, who kept getting caught up between the old covenant and the new covenant. Should we worship in this way or that way? I know as I was praying earlier this year, I felt like God was saying over Coastlands, and this would be corporately and over our individual lives and maybe churches further, that, you know, we needed to settle in our hearts the wrestle and actually say, God, I won't waver between two opinions, the old way of doing church and the new way, you know, in our context. But actually that we would draw to Jesus, draw to his new covenant understanding, submit to what he's saying, and allow that to flow with ease and power. God is so good that he helps us to do that together. And when we come together, we see it in other people's faces, we hear it in their testimonies, we hear it in their lives, that, hey, we are not alone. And I was listening to that song, and it was like, who stands alone? God. He is other. He stands alone, but we don't stand alone. He stands alone and we draw to him. And the beauty of Hebrews is the writer is actually really broad. He's saying, I want to engage everybody, everywhere, every day with how we walk this life. Nothing's left out, no one's left out, and no thing is left out. And so that destroys another lie. Not only the lie that you're alone, but that God might not care for you. God cares for the details. And he delivers his power in and through his people. So today we're going to stand in his word, in what we've just read, but we're going to open it up. I'm only going to open up two verses. It'll probably take me half an hour. Why is that, that God's word has a depth? Because we are talking to the Creator. I was having a conversation with my 9-year-old, and it was a really good conversation about who created God. Did God create himself? Well, it's an obvious question, isn't it? You've got to ask those sort of questions. Otherwise, you're just not thinking. And of course, we had to go through the conversation about, no, God didn't create himself, or he isn't created. He is the creator. There is no one else before him. There is no one else beyond him. There is no one else who is like him. Sorry, he got the role. He's got it. And we give it to him. And we allow him. And as I was thinking through this today, I was like, I wonder how many people wrestle with the reality of who they are in relation to God. And do they know who they really partner with? And as an eldership, we're like really desiring over the next few weeks just to get down to some basics so that we're reminded in our hearts of the real and the relevant that we live in. Because let me tell you, like over the last few weeks, there's been stuff just wrestling through in God and just praying through. And it feels like this week, after our Sunday, stuff just released and was revealed. It's amazing. I mean, I want to share some of it, but I dare not at the moment. But like my email inbox is like, that's been waiting 18 months. That's been waiting 12 months. That's been waiting 10 years. Bang, bang, bang. What did it have to do with any of our meeting together? It's when we come together, there is agreement and there is power to release and see things change. Resurgent church. So we started looking at this word resurgent, and we found in our own dictionary that it actually means that which rises again, especially one who rises from the dead. And I thought, this is describing my Savior. And this is describing the people of God. Every one of you here this morning who says, God, I am resurgent in you, has been risen from the dead. We are no longer slaves to the flesh. We are free in the Spirit. And so defining quickly what we will fast with is only a short decision that leads us to the most important part, which is communing with our Savior. And he can't wait. I'll tell you, God cannot wait for this fast. He's going to get so much attention. He's just been waiting for all attention and reliance. Hey, anyway, taking too long. So this morning we're going to talk about this. Those verses we've just read, they tie together and they bring us a clarity about what God is engaging, but they also are about him. God that enables. In many times that I've heard in psychology and counseling and those sort of things, enabler is now a very bad word. Someone who enables someone to stay in the place that they were. Let me tell you, God is not that. God will not allow you to stay in a place that is not good for you. You know, I heard someone message me the other day in leadership. I can't remember who it was, across the world. And they were saying, God is absolutely loving and kind that he will redeem us and save us, but so good that he will not leave us there. He will take us on. This is a different type of enabler we're talking about here. This is a pull you out and take you on enabler. And of course, everybody loves change when it's happening to someone else. Immediately in this message, you could think, well, I can think of a few things that need enabling. A few people, maybe. Just think this people, right? Just this people, right? We're working together here. God that enables. Because God, as I said, wants everyone, everywhere, every day to actually be engaging what his plan is, his purpose, and what he has for them. So as priests, you would have heard in those first verses, as we hear about, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we're not a cloud this morning, but there's a lot of witnesses here. And there's a great cloud of witnesses beyond us, the forefathers, the founders, who echo down the corridors of time. You can walk in this. Amen. You can be established in this. As you go to a fast, this is completely normal. The prophets down the corridors of time are saying, we fasted for whole nations to see them change, and prayed and saw God do it. So I wanted to alert you that as we preach about this, this is sort of my disclaimer, a God that enables is actually calling us to our priestly privilege. That we get to stand together, agree together, walk together as the priesthood of believers. Stand together in faith. And the acceptable worship to God, I want to be very clear about this, because anything that's said to be done is covered by this, okay? Disclaimer. Anything I'm talking about ever that takes effort or engagement or anything comes under this. Acceptable worship to God can only be offered through Jesus by God's enabling. I might want to read that a bit slower. Acceptable worship to God, that which pleases him, can only be offered through Jesus by God's enabling. As I was coming out the lift with a couple this morning, I was joking about my 20s. I used a huge amount of energy on stuff that I don't think people thought mattered. A lot of energy in a lot of places, maybe for God. And I don't even know if God was actually that interested in it. He loved me, he just didn't know what I was doing. And I used so much energy that by the time I was in my late 20s, I started to work out there's older people in this community, they were in Coastlands at the time, who seem to have more power with one little prayer in agreement with God than all of my energy. They just seem to pray and things happen. I started to desire that. So we can be in the presence of God and we can get all fizzed up and shaken up and ready to go and run out the door and straight into a brick wall. Because if we don't ask God not only what are you saying, but how do we walk this, then it's going to be painful. But we know, we need to really be clear about this, because this is the resurgent church. anything that is acceptable worship, that means the way we live towards God is through Jesus and by God's enabling. Isn't that freeing?
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off, but it also says, I'm going to be clear about the origin of anything that's coming towards me and that I'm working from. Good news, God is enabling this. We're going to go through Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Who is this God? Who is this God we believe in? This one true God, the one we name as Yahweh, of which the words couldn't even be uttered by the Israelite community because of his greatness. We heard firstly in Hebrews 12, there's an instruction. It's like, have your heart ready. Receive the grace that God has for you. Standing as in a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that God has marked out for us. He's marked it out. He's planned it. It tells us about our future, and we stop being anxious because he knows. We look to who? Jesus, founder, perfecter of our faith, who for joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Man, Jesus, you are so good. You knew how much it would take, and you did not let it steal your joy. You knew that you were going to receive all authority, and so therefore we start from there today. We are not alone, and we desire others to know that. This really dropped in my heart the other day. Faith acts on future promises, not current circumstances. Faith acts on the future promises that are standing and true, not on my current circumstances. And so we go through those circumstances, and what does it bring us? It brings us together. How? It brings us together in this way. An old preacher said this. I cannot remember who it is. I've been trying to remember who it is. Said this: faith that is tested can be trusted. So we go through these things. We're drawn to God. He pulls us into faith. We endure things for the joy that faith that is tested can be trusted. You look around and you don't trust anything structurally that hasn't been tested. Amen? And it's the same in the church. If we're going to trust one another and walk through these, we need to see each other going through the faith reality of life. It will bring tests and you will overcome them because we know we are fixed our eyes on Jesus, the future promise, not the current circumstances. And we've been talking about the formidable God. Let me tell you that the dictionary says that it's one who inspires fear or represents respect or requires respect through being impressively great, large, powerful, intense, or capable. Very great. That's who we're standing with. Isn't that good, hey? So when I'm standing in the eye of the storm and I'm standing with him, man, I'm just like, look who I'm with. Tell it to the hand. You know, God is good. And when I utter his name and I'm in him, his enabling power comes to me. Very, very powerful. But just before we go on, one more redemption of a word. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this. This is so good. Inspirational. Do you know the Greek word inspiro, inspire? I don't even know how to say it. Anastasia would help me if she was here. But, you know, inspiro actually means to blow upon or into, breathe into, excite, inflame, inspire, instill, or implant. Wow, that is what God, when we're living a Jesus-inspired life, that's what he does. Last week we talked about enlarge, and we can think of all the things that need to happen around us, but actually we're talking about what has to happen in us. When the God that we know, who is this God? Formidable in his strength, who disarms every opponent that is around us. We don't do that. He does. When he disarms every opponent and we stand with his true nature, and when we are inspired, when the incarnate God comes close to us as we draw close to him and fills our hearts, breathes into our lives, that is true inspiration. So now I've ruined every other earthly form. Sorry, guys. You're like, that's not that inspiring. We can see God in people and we can call it that's inspiring. But it's little I, what we should have put a big capital there for God's inspirational, inspiro. Because when it's God, it's set apart. It's different. The breath of God enlarges us. The inspiration of another will encourage us. But the breath of God enlarges us to be capable to walk in all things. Inspiration enables his servants. I need the breath of God. I need to hear his word and the formidable nature of who he is, be reminded of who he is, and I need the breath of God. And that's before we've even taken a step. All right, who is this God? What do we see in this scripture? I'm going to take through verse by verse, all right? So what's going to take a little longer? Now, we've only got two verses, so I'm going to break them down because this is so important. It's sort of like what we said about our activation night. And some of you would have received the booklet last week and grabbed them downstairs about what it means to be a resurgent church. And you would have ticked the form. That's intention. What we're looking for is inspiration of God. We want to see the gospel take hold in full effect and outflow. We thought of the things that are there at the moment. We don't know what's coming and God might do in and through his people that we can expand it. But perfect peace is one of the first things that comes up in verse 20. Perfect peace, that which we have experienced. Has anyone ever experienced peace? All right, so what this is saying is, if you've known peace come to your life in any form, but particularly in the salvation of God, then you actually know the God of peace. You know his nature. He's not separated from that peace. He is peace. And some will say, well, I experienced that. You know, when I put my life before him, I said, God, I'm so sorry. I've missed this. I didn't understand who you are and you had a plan for my life. And I confess that I have not lived for you and now I want you to live in me. When that moment happens, people feel an innate peace that comes. But what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that's not just a feeling or a sense that you go looking for, that's attached to our God. That's who he is peace. We don't go to the feelings that God emanates. We go to the very God who is peace. Isn't that good? So when he says, now may the God of peace, he's like really saying, come right in, because this is your God. This is peace. This is his power. What we've seen and known, the writers of 1 John say. St. John says, I have seen and I have known this. I'm a witness. Therefore, believe in this Jesus. It is his countenance towards us. It's an old word, isn't it? Countenance. I should have had another definition. I refrained. His countenance towards us. What do I mean by that? If a parent is upset or disappointed, how do you know? Do you know by the words or do you know by the face? Right? Their countenance towards you is apparent. And you're shrinking like, oh my goodness, they're not happy, is also clear. Or if they're overjoyed and proud at you, bubbling with tears and emotions and smiles and all those sort of things that happen when parents go to make speeches about their children, what is it that you notice? You're not looking at the mess that's going on, the blubbering and the smiling and everything else. You're seeing their face. His countenance towards us is absolute pleasure and peace. Why? Because we're in Jesus. So before we've done anything, we are acceptable by Jesus. And therefore, we get the face that Jesus gets. Can you think of how proud the Father is of Jesus, his Son? So that's his face. That's his countenance towards us. You get to be his favorite. If you weren't his favorite in the family, you are now. All right? See, even stuff's getting dealt with this morning. This is amazing. If you've got siblings and you've never been the favorite, because he's looking at Jesus, who is favorite, and you're with Jesus, you get the favorite face. I don't even know if that's a phrase. Anyway, that could just be blowing up counseling sessions everywhere. I don't know. But you're the favorite now. God is you are under his gaze, under his countenance. He emanates, he shines towards you, and then you beam back at him, and we haven't even said a word. We just know who he is. Man, our nation needs that en masse. So many things, and yet we don't know him. The second thing is that we see here is that he is actually a gracious father. He is actually gracious. He is loving. He is kind. He is a gracious father because he did not spare his own son in his love for you. His love for us. He was one who wanted and desired that we would be raised up. So through him, We have been raised to life. This is the God we're talking about. The gracious and loving Father. Brought again from the dead. Who brought again from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. The word says it in this order. It's a bit clumsy, isn't it, the words? But the word says it in this order to say it ends in Jesus. Even the sentence lands in Lord Jesus Christ. When he is your Lord and he is your Savior, it is all finished. Nothing can contend for you in that space. Through him, we have been raised to life. The breath of God has breathed into us. Who raised Jesus up? Out of the tomb. Who brought him through? A loving and gracious Father who looked across all of time and knew what was needed and how it would emanate. It is the end of all things when it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That little phrase, brought up or brought again, means to, like when Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. It means led up and out of. Led up and out of. Remember they had to go across the Red Sea and the chariots all went down, and that was, you know, that was important because it separated them from Egypt. It wasn't just led up, so out of, it was out of. You and I have been led up and out of, delivered and received a new status, a new nature, a new type of being, a new way of living. They couldn't live like they would in Egypt anymore. Egypt was done. They could not live in that way. They couldn't go back. The Red Sea had closed and they were in a new way of living. And they were suddenly reliant on God and responsive of God. You know, some of us even this morning need to remember that. We walk around in Egypt every day. Some of you have got pharaohs and all those sort of things that you're under. But we are not under the slavery and bondage anymore. In this, it's talking about salvation. Yeah. Brought again. You have been led up and out of. No going back. The name of Jesus provides blessing, favor, protection, grace, and peace in exchange for everything else that we had. The led up element means that God is also the great shepherd. He gathers us to himself. He doesn't just pull us out of Egypt and then say, all right, good luck with this. Here's a few instructions. See you on the other side. He was with them like a fire by night and a cloud by day. He is with us. He doesn't leave it to us to get through. He is the God who enables. He surrounds us. He leads us. He guides us. He determines our future. He is a great shepherd. We know from John 10, the great shepherd, and how he loves his sheep. We come to him in this way. We come to him for protection, and we ask. We come in when we don't know what we need, and then we ask things because he's like, you can ask anything, son, daughter. You can ask anything. But it's funny when you're not brought in, or you don't come in, then you find it hard to ask. You can't yell at him from the desert. Come in. The refreshing of God, the rivers of living water, the breath, inspiro. You know, I just need inspiration for this project, someone cries out. Come into God. I just need understanding of what is even going on. Come into God. Never pick up Google to understand what is going on. Seriously, people. Like, don't pick up Google. God knows. You are with God, the great shepherd. Come to him, ask anything, because he is the shepherd of the flock. He will lead you up and out of, and he will bring protection, and you can ask, and he will deliver. He is faithful and true. Oh, just someone you can trust. When you don't know where you're looking, and you don't know who to trust, come into God. He is faithful, he is true, and then he helps you to see who is trustworthy. He'll be like, yeah, this person's been through that. That person knows what it's like. That person's been tested a million times. Look how they're smiling. The new covenant we have received, this new covenant promise, is not only delivered to us, it is shared. What do I mean by that? Well, Uber Eats can deliver me a meal. They often don't have it with me. I haven't done that yet, you know. It invited the Uber driver. Maybe that's... Anyway, Trina's like, no, we're not doing that. But we didn't know we were coming for dinner. We've got everything prepared for you. Come right in. All the other deliveries would be late for the night. They may never go back. Anyway, out of Egypt. But the reality... Sorry, strike that off. Anyway, I'm in real trouble now. The new covenant promise is not only delivered to your door and dropped there. He sups with us. He actually shares it with us. Let me show you how to eat. Let me show you how we do this. Let me show you how we walk this out. Because you're not aware of this. He's bringing the new covenant. And so we do it with others, don't we? Oh, this is so... There's only a couple of verses. By the blood of the eternal covenant. This is... The blood severs you from the things that held you spiritually. Severs it. Everybody can see the things you're held by outwardly. Sorry, oh, shouldn't have said that. Everybody can see that, sorry, in the church. You don't have to be a spiritual guru. You just have to be observational, right? But only those who know the heart of God will see the spiritual things and what God has severed off of you and remind you of those things often. Remind you of the God that you serve. Remind you that those things are broken off. The new covenant received is shared by the blood of the covenant. This is precious. The blood has secured your severance. Secured. Done. Irrevocable. And it's for all of his people. It's eternal, forever. This is the grace of God. This is the grace. This is the grace of God that delivers favor into our lives. Sorry, I couldn't find a better word than this. It's good. I tried to put a verb around it or anything else. It's just, God is good. And when he takes back good, he means it. Formidable, Spiro, all of these things. He is that. Things are okay on earth once you've seen how good God is. They're challenging in every other word at times, but they are not good as God is. The very nature of God who extends his unlimited blessing to complete his work in us and through us. That's the goodness of God. He even desired that for Adam and Eve. He desired that they would walk with him, have dominion over all things, and have an unlimited capacity to draw on him. See, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Draw on him for everything they needed. When Adam didn't have a wife, he didn't have a suitable companion, what did he do? Drew close to God. Said, I don't know what I need, but it isn't that. Everything you've created. I don't know what I need. And God knew. Created Eve. When I come to God and I say, God, I don't know what I need. It's like he gets permission. Finally. Sometimes we can pray to God for all the things we think we need him to do. And he must just be like, that's nice. That's a good idea. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. And then, oh, you want to know me? I think. Well, I'll be doing this. Isn't that good, hey? So I'm trying to be light and because it's really deep, actually. Completely, completely God means completely good. He equips us with everything good that you may do your will, do his will. But I wrote this in this way. You may do your will. Wow. Okay, God, well, how do you equip us? You give us everything, God, that we may do your will. Because we actually say, not my will be done, but your will be done. The verse turns back on us and says, if it's your will, it's not my will. It's not my way. And that's hard. Because I've got some good plans, some good ideas, and they all need to be surrendered when I come to God. Because he lives and he divides. And then he gives us things we couldn't even think or imagine. He never takes away your personality, don't worry. He's not going to suck your brain out and leave you with nothing. He will engage your brain in a whole new way to be able to receive who he is and his will. But our will is really important in this. Your will, I give over my will. Your will be done. He can turn circumstances from their most extreme extents if we agree with his will. He is loving kindness. If you've read the Old Testament, Isaiah, Psalms, loving kindness, the Lord's loving kindness is constantly referenced. He is loving kindness. Not just an act and random act of kindness, loving kindness. An intentional act of I lay down my life and I give you kindness that is of a rapturing nature. Because it works in us, so working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. He knows what pleases him. So I can come to God, not under the pressure of, am I pleasing you? Am I living up to you? Am I doing what you want? But come to him going, you know how I should please you. You do what you want to do. That pleases you, God. So I'm a reflector of his countenance. It takes all the pressure off. Loving kindness, completely satisfied. That's what it means. God, completely satisfied with the obedient work of Jesus. Don't put your name in there. Don't put your name in there. Completely satisfied with the obedient work of Jesus and how he sees those who have received it. Now put your name in there. And those who have received it. If you've received the work of Jesus that he's done and it is finished, then you are received by him. And those who now experience his emanating peace. When you are emanating with peace, no matter what struggles, no matter what challenges, no matter what's going on in your family, your world, your workplace, people will see this weird fragrance of peace. Why are you calm? Well, I know the God of peace. I'm with him. Formidable, breathing on me. He breathed on his disciples and he said, peace be with you. He breathed on them. That's what it says Jesus did. He breathed on them. He didn't do Uber Eats. Here you go, guys. Unpack this. I'll be back. I'll be praying. See you later. We humbly receive his enabling. Humbly come to him and say, God, I need your enabling power. And Jesus responds with, I'll be working in you, and I'll be working on you, and I'll be working through you, and I'll breathe, and I'll blow out the cobwebs, and I'll get things moving. Thank you for your invitation. Amen? All right, moving on. Who is God? Last one. Our eternal hope. If he's got the plan, he's got the eternal hope, he's got everything that's required, locked up, sorted, then I can trust him. And no other form of hope that will finish will do. No other form. He is eternal hope. And when I come to him, I know that I can be eternally grateful for what Jesus has done. And that's why we sing, that's why we worship, that's why we come together, because what we're saying is we're actually eternally grateful. Through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's like the end, it's like sorted, finished. You know, benedictions and doxologies are dangerous. If we actually take them as a way to live, not just the end of a book or a letter, but we actually are a sign off by God, but actually say, this is the moment where he turns out of a whole book of Hebrews, he turns to his people and says, now, receive what I'm doing. Receive who I am. And he breathes it. And my hope that would be, as we look to what is it to be resurgent in this time, what is it to be raised again, lit up again, that we would take, just let God breathe. Take our hands off of all the things and all the places and all the ideas and just say, God, would you reform what you want to do in and through us? Through whom Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ, this means the grace of God that is granted in the work of the believer. This is the work of God in you, that Jesus has come and he will stand you up and he will draw you out and move you on. But the glory forever and ever is a moment where that writer's saying, now return in worship. Let the worship return to him that is due to him. Let the gratefulness, let the fragrance of thankfulness be towards him. You know, sometimes we walk into services or different engagements with other Christians and we can be concerned that our worship won't be good enough. Concerned that we're not in the right place. What I'm talking about today destroys that. Because as long as you walk in with Jesus and into his power, then you are received and you are ready and you are available and to be enabled. Now, the hope is that we become more front-footed than that in our life, so we're more prepared for that. But I have seen God use things in the immediacy of someone's surrender. And surrender in Australia is a really dangerous word because Australians are so acquainted with apathy. And so they think it means to, you know, lay down on a beach somewhere and, you know, just have their tiredness drain out. That's not it. See, surrender is actually to fully engage what God has said here. Like one who is coming to them, coming to the King of Kings and the Lord, into his courts and awaiting their instructions. The destiny, the determination of God, the things that are removed are pressure, fear, anxiety, question marks over your future, where to do this and that, because suddenly you're coming to him in a way that actually just says, my life is yours. So one of the hardest things about surrender is that we have other plans. And one of the hardest things about surrender is that people don't want to give up control. And then they might even hear the word. They might even reference it. They might even regurgitate it throughout the week to a whole heap of other people hoping they change. But the inspiration of God comes to us personally and powerfully because he wants to be with us and show us how to live. Show us how to live in a new way. You can give over every minute of your day to him confidently and clearly and say, God, how should I walk in this? And he's okay when we mess up because he knows we're walking towards a new way of living. And he's got all of the requirements to deliver that. Now, I'm not talking about messing up in sin. I'm talking about messing up by going back to old ways of thinking, old ways of doing, how I used to do it. I wish we could just have church the old way. I'm like, what on earth is that? I've been changing so much, I don't know what it is anymore. I've lost it. People are deconstructing church, and I don't even remember the last thing that was deconstructed. I can't remember. We're moving. People of God are changing. God is moving them. We're not at the last place we were. We've already left. So when people come and say to you, oh, they want you to be in that place that they held you because, you know, Hayden will always be there because that's where he was in 1995. Oh, he's gone. Where is he? He's not there where I left him. But I was, my whole life was based around the whole social construct that I had in 1995. The people of God move. They are moved out of the places and we're not there. And for those who have found themselves a little stuck, we can just say, there he is up there. Go and join him. And there he is over there, and over there, and over there. Right? You cannot be pinned by man. It is God who directs you when we put our trust in him in this way.